I didn't finish part one, part two. Pastor does it. My Sunday school is like that. If I don't finish 1 week, I can continue on the next week, you know, until time is over. But part two. So we are in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Actually, I should have asked, anybody remember? No. I don't remember. That's why I write these stuff down, you know? All right. This morning, we went over verses in chapter 5, verse 12, 13, 14. And we ended with, be patient toward all men. We'll go ahead and open a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you again, Lord, for this day. Father, we also pray that you would touch our hearts and minds. Still us, Father, Lord, that we'd be not anxious about things that happen in the world or elsewhere. But Father, pray that you would just continue to work on our hearts, work on our minds. Father, that this message would just be one that glorifies you. First Christ's name we pray. Amen. We ended with, like I said, be patient toward all men. And that's tough for us to do, huh? Sometimes we can be patient with some. Some people we can be patient with. Okay, my wife is patient with me. Okay, and I praise God for it. Because if she wasn't patient with me, she'd shoot me and be done with it. Okay? And it's just one of those things that, you know, we ask patience of other people toward us, but how about us toward other people? Okay? People in church, people get irritated and they get frustrated with them and, you know, they just want to, I'm done with it. You know, well, God doesn't call us to be done with it unless they've caused an offense. And then you go take another person, you go talk to them. If the offense is still there, don't want to repeat, then you take two or three, namely the pastor, I hope, to go and talk with that person. If there still is no resolution, then you bring it before the church and have them excluded, churched, whatever term you want to put on. Bible says kicked out of the assembly, you know, and do it that way because this person is now an unruly person. Okay, it happens. We had to do that recently. Some people don't understand. They figure, well, forgiveness means putting up with it. I've been here for 20 years. He has not changed his mind on the way he did not change his mind. And his things were very obvious against God. And so we churched him, excluded him from the membership. Okay, removed, as it were, the hand of protection that this church does offer toward people. And as Paul said, you know, turn them over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh. It took 20 years for me to come to that decision, conclusion, even though the Bible's pretty said, you know, the first or second admonition, do something about it. Okay? So be patient with all men, okay? And not just people in the church. I mean, sometimes we're more patient with lost people that are outside the church than we are with people in the church. Okay? I have seen people in marriages more patient with lost people they do not know than their own wives or husbands or children, than people in their own family. Okay? Yeah, and it's a shame when that happens. So, but be patient toward all men. And now we're on to verse 15, see that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. And it's interesting, these two little verses here, that, did I turn this on? I did turn this on, did I? Okay. That in these two verses we hear, we see things that are supposed to be happening toward all men. We like to pick and choose, don't we? I don't know, I like to pick and choose. Well, I'm going to be friendly toward that person, but not toward this person because this person, you know, it's one of those things that we oftentimes do not have, seem to have the capacity to deal with all men equally. Okay? We make distinctions. All right? See that none render evil unto evil for evil. Excuse me, I got to find my place in my notes. Evil. Evil is injury or bad or harm that we seek that towards somebody else. And you know, people have justified themselves. Well, it's not evil I want to do toward that person. I want my revenge. I want my vengeance. They did this to me, and I want my pound of flesh. Oh, and it's not revenge, it's justice. Justice. Well, how many people want justice against us for things that we have done or might not have done? Okay? Remember, there's a sin of a commission and the sin of omission. Things we know we should have done right, and we didn't. Okay. Funny how other people seem to notice that too. You know that? Yeah? But we have this tendency that we want our pound of flesh. I don't care how many times they apologize, they just don't mean it. Okay? But that's not the way we're supposed to do that. The disciples came up and said, maybe it was Peter. He's the one who likes to think of himself more spiritually. Jesus, if somebody offends me, how often must I forgive them? Seven times? That's a holy number, isn't it? Seven's the number of God in numerology. It's like, wow, seven times? He thought he was being holy and righteous. Gee, only seven times? And then, by golly, we can say, fire of heaven, come down. You know, the disciples said that about the people that were preaching Jesus without their permission. Jesus, should we call the fire of heaven? No, because that's not the type of person you're to be. That's what he pointed out the first thing, isn't it? As well as, well, they're still preaching the truth. Let them. Leave them be. The disciples wanted their thing because they said, man, we're the only one authorized to tell the truth. But we want our pound of flesh. We want justice. We want equity. We want what we want, don't we? And sometimes it doesn't matter what the Bible says, we're just going to go ahead and want what we want and try to get what we want. Okay? Now, if it's an offense, there are ways that the Bible says, if you're offended, go to a brother, talk to him about it, go to that person. If not, take two or three. I just went through that. Bible says there's ways to deal with that. But sometimes we don't. We talk about that person to somebody else and up to somebody else. We are doing them evil. We're doing them harm when we start backbiting and tail bearing. Oh no, I'm just telling the truth. I've heard that. I'm just saying the truth. Yeah. But you're adding your own embellishment on that truth. Okay? Until it's brought out in public in front of everybody. And then let the assembly decide. But it says, see that none render evil for evil unto any man. Yeah, but lost people don't count. Is that any part of the any man, any person? Yeah, lost people count. Why? Because you're trying to win them over to Christ. You're trying to be a witness to them of the things of God. And are these the things of God? Yes, God is a God of judgment. Funny how people in churches don't remember that. But they'll apply it to somebody else. God's a God of judgment. He'll judge you for your sins. Yeah, and what about you, church member? Yeah, I'm sure God can find something with you. I mean, he found something wrong with the church at Ephesus, didn't he? And the church at Smyrna and all these other ones, he found something wrong with them. I have somewhat against you. Even though you're doing all this stuff, you left your first love. But it says, see that you render not evil to any man. Any man. Or a woman, doesn't matter if they're in church, out of church, saved person or lost person. See that you don't render evil to any man. Okay. Second thing is like it, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Follow means to pursue, which means you're not just following along, you're pursuing something. You're going after a person. I remember football. We weren't taught to follow a person who had the ball. We were taught to pursue that person, to put our utmost into it, and to try to tackle that person, right? Okay? Same thing in rugby. Rugby's a tough sport because you got no pads or helmet, man. It's like, yeah, that hurts. But you pursue that person with enthusiasm and vigor, and it's like hoping to catch that person. Follow that which is good. Okay? Pursue good toward all men. You know, it's not a passive thing. You know, where we just lay back and, oh, if it happens, it happens. I'll do good when I have the opportunity. Oh, you know, a lot of people are good at making the opportunity. That's kind of the impression it gives here. You make the opportunity to do good, as opposed to doing evil to them. Because sometimes we make opportunity to do evil toward them. Well, if I do this, we plan, we're schemers. If I do this, then they will do that. And if I do this, then that happens to them. And oh, they'll get there. Well, they get what's coming to them. We try to do this in our own mind. No, but on the flip side, do that which is good. Follow ever after that. Pursue that which is good. Do you know what good means? It means good. That which is beneficial for them. You know, sometimes I like definitions because our definitions of these words are modern definitions and the meanings have changed. In schools, they teach the Webster's 1828 dictionary. That's the only dictionary you should use for the English language. Go back to the original Greek and Hebrew and what the word says there. And sometimes the word is translated correctly. Good. Do that which is good, that which is beneficial, that which causes no harm. That which benefits somebody else. Oftentimes we have a secret motive to when we do something, to benefit ourselves, to make a name for ourselves. You know? I've done this for somebody. Oh, Jesus, we brought you water. We saw you in prison. We brought you this. We brought you that. We did all this stuff for you. And then what was the end judgment of these people? Depart from me. I know you not. You're not my children. You're not my people. Because you didn't do this in my name and for me. You did it for your own purpose. Same thing in prayer. Paul was talking to the church and he's writing, you pray and ask for these things, but you don't have it. Why? Because your prayer is an error. It's paraphrased. Your prayer is an error. You're praying for stuff that you can consume it upon your own lust for your own private reasons. That's why your prayer is ineffective. That's why your prayer has no power. You're still looking for the harm to do somebody else. Okay? Instead of doing that, which is good. Oftentimes Paul says, put yourself second. Actually, put yourself third. Okay? Jesus, others, and you. Remember that little acronym? And how many times do we, you know, you're looking at me like, I don't remember that acronym. We teach it to the kids, don't we? Sunday school, junior church, and all that stuff. Joy, true joy is Jesus, others, and you. Live your life that way. And then they see the adults. I'm not going to be joyful because that person is still here, or that person treat me that way, or that person, blah, 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 blah. We go on and on and on. We don't bother worrying about the good for somebody else. Doing things for somebody else's benefit, not our own, at our own probably detriment. Because oftentimes it takes us submitting our pride and arrogance to God. It takes us humbling ourselves one to another in order to do these things, to do good for somebody. Oh, and not just special people. Both among yourselves and all men, he says, both among yourselves here in church, do good to each other here and not evil. Do good. Seek other person's benefit higher than your own. Okay. Remember to put other people first rather than yourself. Okay. To think of other people, to pray for other people. And not in a way which, you know, God, I ask you to pray for this person, or I'm praying for this person because they need to straighten up. Kind of sounds like the Pharisee. Remember last week's Sunday night message? And it's like, oh, you weren't here, so you guys are excused. talking about prayer of Pharisees and the publican. The Pharisee's prayer, God, I tithe and I give this and I do all this stuff. I am so wonderful and marvelous. God, you got to love me. Not like this poor publican over here. I am better than him because I am morally superior. Yeah. Sometimes we just got to be humble, like that poor publican who did not come to the front and start praying prayer. He hid in the back. Choose your corner. He hid in the back. And he said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Okay? His prayer was one of humility. His prayer was one of faith. God, I put my faith in you. Be merciful to me, a sinner. And we know God heard him, and like Jesus said, he went away justified, didn't he? He went away saved. Just like the thief on the cross next to Jesus. Lord, when you come to your kingdom, please remember me. Even on the cross, he humbled himself. The other guy didn't, did he? The other guy said, man, if you are Jesus, if you are God, do this and release us also. It was purely a prayer of selfishness. Okay? And Jesus turned to the other one, this day you will be with me in paradise. Your soul is saved. You are not going to die and go where this guy's going. Okay. I'm right-handed, which is why the good guy's on the right, by the way. You're seeing him on the left, so this is just where I'm pointing. Where this guy was saved on the cross. He didn't have to be baptized. He didn't have to do the 10 things. He didn't have to say, I don't know, how many Hail Marys or, you know, full of grace, etc., all this stuff. He didn't have to count beads. He didn't have to walk up the mountain 5,000 or 6,000 times. He didn't have to make the journey to Mecca. He just believed in faith, trusted God. The same as it is with these. God says, I will avenge you. You don't have to do it. I'll take care of it. Don't worry about it. So we got to trust God and not render evil to evil to people, to all men. We say, God, take care of it. And then leave it. Leave it. Lord, be between me and this person, and then leave it. Step back. You may never know the problem. You asked us to pray about it. God may have worked on our heart. Okay? Or God may have worked on your heart where you became more accessible. You know, but see that you render evil none but good. Lord, help me to do good for somebody. And if it's somebody I don't like in church, oh, man, God, I know your word says this, but you don't know this person. It's my thorn in the flesh, God. Be nice to that person too. It's my Mario. Ah. Render good among yourselves and all men. All men, again, that term, all means everybody. Lost and saved. Yes, our ungodly president and some of our ungodly leaders, you pray for them. Do good for them. I don't mean support them by sending your money at election time. Don't do that. But pray for them. God, save their soul. Why? Not because they need to change in the way they do things, change their politics, because they need to be saved. Christ, you love them. God, you love them as much as you love me. Open their heart and their mind so they can see that and understand. Send somebody there like you did David. You notice that all the kings had somebody to witness to them? Had somebody close by that told them the truth? I find that amazing. Even Nebuchadnezzar had, you know, Daniel and the three Hebrew men. I always want to say their Hebrew names, but I can only remember, you know, the names were taught, you know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That's not their true names. We should make an effort to remember their true names. Hananiah? Amen. Those three guys, okay, who had the faith that even when they faced death, they said, okay, we're not going to bow. We're going to trust our God. And if he saves us, he saves us. If he doesn't, we still haven't bowed. Okay? We know the rest of the story. do good to all men, everybody, even those people that you think are reviling. I driving around town, I constantly see the beggars, the displaced homeless, the what's the other term that they use for people who have no home? Yeah, that's the user displaced, but they have a more fancier term than that. Well, that's probably why I don't remember it. If I remember it, I'll tell you. But even those guys, there's some of the guys that you know, they're just out there to get the money There was one guy, a reporter that did this years ago. He lived on the street for a month, and he wound up making thousands of dollars by begging. You know? Next time you look at one of them, they got a dog. There is no fat dog on a street corner. Just something I thought about, you know. They got food to feed the dog. Anyway, but the idea is that I should not despise them for where they are, for whatever reason, whether they choose to be there, whether they're actually truly mentally incompetent, or by some misfortune of life, they're physically unable to hold down a job. I should not sit in judgment of them. I'm just one slip in the ice away from that. You know? I don't know. My wife has to be healthy. She's got to work. But it's one of those things. To be gracious and good to all men. And then it goes on to one-liners. I like the one-liners because they're simple, aren't they? Rejoice evermore, verse 16 says. Rejoice evermore. And that's a statement. That's all. Man, that's complicated. It's a statement unto itself. Rejoice. Rejoice means to have a joyful attitude, to be glad, to be happy. How many people have you seen going around with, they don't look like they're happy? Somebody took the cheer out of their Cheerios. I was like, I'm so sad today. People come out of church there. I'm so sad today. Well, why are you sad? Didn't you just hear about the hope and everything? Well, yeah, you know, it's one of those things. Pastor Anker was trying to encourage somebody about the second coming of the Lord. And she said, and he was telling all the stuff. We should look forward to it. We should be happy. Yeah, well, we'll see. Wow. To have that kind of attitude. There's too many people that are walking around like Eeyore from Winnie the Pooh. Everybody says, Eeyore, yeah. You know the donkey? The pin the tail on the donkey? Okay. Everybody's sad. I'm so sad. It's just, oh. Everybody remember Lippity the Lion and Hardy Har Har? It's an old cartoon when I was a little guy. Had a lion. And a hyena. Lion, hyena. And the lion was optimist, always. Like, and the little hyena, well, I don't know. We may get in trouble for it. I don't know. It's like, too many people wander around like that. Sometimes we're like that, aren't we? We don't get our cup of coffee in the morning. It's like, I haven't had my cup of coffee. I am grumpy until then. I haven't had my wake-up call. I haven't had whatever I need to pep me up in the morning. When we should have remembered the verse, rejoice evermore. Rejoice, even first thing in the morning. You know, 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, the cat gets up on the bed and wakes you up. I rolled over the other night. The cat misses Julie. Okay, so we've been having our bedroom door open, and the cat comes and goes. Well, the other night I rolled over, and my face planted right in him, right there. It's like, I mean, nothing but fur. It's like, pff, pff, pff. I yelled at the cat and did something, and he left before I could actually do physical harm. But it's like, even then, even in that, and it's a silly thing. Rejoice evermore. If I really didn't like the cat, he'd be gone. Okay? Things happen in life. rejoice. And I don't mean some silly, you know, I got to be happy because I'm a Christian, I'm saved, and oh, I just got to be happy. It's got to be real. To rejoice, to have joy over your salvation. Actually realizing that when Paul mentioned all this evil and wicked things, he says, and such were some of you, but now you're saved. God has cleansed your soul because you accepted Him. You are no longer that way. And it's like, wow, I remember being saved, being down on my knees and just, you know, praying. And then all of a sudden it's like, for God to forgive me, it's all of a sudden the weight got lifted off my shoulders. And I've recounted to you guys at Sunday school how before that time, man, I just squeezed the back of the pew so hard so that way I won't make that step because I'm locked solid here. I never did that after that. Same preacher, preaching the same salvation message. I'm not lost. I did not grip the pew. Instead, it was a different attitude in my mind, in my heart. It's like, oh, wow. I can truly be happy. And it's not based on what the world gives me or does not give me. It's not based, sorry, honey, on what my wife does or does not do for me. It's based on what God has already done for me. Okay? It's based on what God said back at Adam and Eve, hey, I'm going to close you with some sheep's clothing, some things, so that way you understand about the blood. But don't worry, I got a Savior plan. I got a Savior coming who's going to crush that serpent's head. He's going to be seed of a woman. All you have to do is believe. And I bet you they did. They were sad when they realized their sin, but you got something that'll help make up for this? Yeah. So rejoice evermore. If in nothing else, rejoice for that. And if that's all you have to hang on to, amen, praise the Lord. But after a couple of years, you should be noticing some better things in your life as long when you're following God. Brothers and sisters, you know, mothers and fathers in the Lord that you didn't quite have a relationship with your own mother and father, maybe, perhaps. Okay? It's one of those things, man. There's a lot of stuff out there if we bother to look for it. If we bother to say, hey, I will accept that into my life. Rejoice evermore. Rejoice always, regardless of the situation. Pray without ceasing. Bring your supplications and your desire and your things, your burdens before God and pray. God, please take care of this. I cannot handle it. It's a burden for me that I cannot handle. I do not know how. Half a prayer is just admitting a God, your own faults and your own weaknesses in your life. Father, I cannot do this. I need you. Forgive me of my sin. Pray without ceasing. And without ceasing means uninterruptedly. That's a long word, uninterruptedly. And that's actually what they use, uninterruptedly. You ever had somebody talk? You're having a conversation with somebody and they dominate the conversation? They just go on and 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 on. I'm one of those, okay, you want to talk? Talk. Keep going. The same thing to God. Talk to Him always. Okay? Yeah, but we got to do stuff on earth. Yes, I know that. Okay? I have to drive. And they teach us to drive for five. Five? Yeah, drive for five. You, person in front of you, person behind you, person to your right, person to your left. That can get confusing sometimes. Paying attention, you know, around you. What's going on? You know, there's sometimes, though, you can see people's attitude in the way they drive. You know, look in the rearview mirror. Oh, there's that motorcyclist. He's like five cars behind me, but he's going to be passing me on the left. You know, he's going to be doing something. Yes, he did. On the way in, we had a motorcyclist. We passed what's the Circle K out there? It's not Circle K anymore. At the base of the Sullivan off-ramp onto Trent. You know that little store there? It is Nom Nom now. Huh? It's a Nom Nom. Purple. And I forget what the name of that street is, because Evergreen is the next light. But anyway, whatever the name of that street is. Progress? All right, then. Right there. We're going along. You know, I got my eyeball on things. And this guy comes from the other direction, gets over into the turn lane, and passes two or three, one person. Just pass. He's about that far away from my car door to pass somebody because they figure, well, I don't know why they figured. I figure that they figure they got a right to. Yeah, sometimes your attention is diverted by the things going on in the world. But where you left off after that interruption, you can pick up. Keep on with the same prayer. Keep on with the same theme, with the same person you're praying for. Pray without ceasing. Wow. I'm long-winded the older I get, aren't I? Like, okay. We'll do this next one real quick. In everything, give thanks, because this is part of the prayer, for this is the will of God in Christ concerning you. In everything, give thanks. You know, for years, preachers say, do the will of God. Find out the will of God for your life. Well, okay, you don't have to find out the will of God in your life, because some things God says, this is the will of God concerning you. Isn't that pretty plain? Give thanks in everything. Give thanks. Does that mean in some things only give Him thanks? When things go good? When things are hunky-dory? When all your bills are paid? When you're feeling better? No. Says give thanks in everything, through everything, while everything is happening. Right? Yeah, but things are not going my way. I don't know what. One little thing happens. Some of the people I drive are not aware cognizantly of other things. They have their way of doing things. If we're not there at a certain time, and you know, if we don't do things, things are not done right. They just don't know how to deal with it. Yeah, I got one little girl we pick up. If I'm later than a half hour, they know we have a half hour window, you know, from the time pick up to that. I was late by about a minute and a half, and I didn't like her. No, I'm here. I'm here to pick you up. But you didn't call. I don't know how I can help you. I don't know how I can say I'm sorry so many times, because it didn't happen in her time frame. That's just the way they're wired. The effect of sin on the earth. Okay? And I have to be aware of that with people, with things I say. And it's not walking on eggshells for I'm fear of, you know, offending them or offending somebody who has their emotions on their arm sleeve. No. This is psychologically the way they are, because of sin in the world. And some of them that are saved, they will tell you they're saved, and they love God. Oh, we went to church this weekend, and we did this, and we had that, and this, it was just great. The pastor preached, it's like, wow. Comes in all spectrums. But in everything, give thanks. You give thanks for things. God, I thank you for putting her into my life and teaching me something. Getting through my head that I need to be more open. I don't know. My face sometimes when I'm concentrating looks angry. Okay? There are things that I can control this, by the way. Okay? For years, my mother-in-law didn't like my voice because it comes across too harsh sometimes. Okay? I have learned to soften the voice when I'm dealing with her. I have learned to, I don't know, pray to God that He would help me, but to give thanks for teaching me some things. Okay? To give God thanks in everything, good and bad. All right. We're going to go the next thing, the next two things before we end, real quick. Quench not the Spirit. Spirit of God works on us anywhere and everywhere. He can even use lost people to spur us on to some things. Spirit, Holy Spirit uses whatever he needs. He used a donkey once. Did you know that? Well, the Bible, the story of the Bible, he used a donkey on this preacher of God who was, I kept you from, you know, the guy got mad at the donkey. And God gave the donkey a voice. He says, I saved your life. Look, there's that angel of death over there. He wants to kill you because you want to go against the things of God. The preacher didn't learn. He went around it. He circumvented the will of God anyway. But sometimes God uses some weird people, weird things in our life to teach us a lesson. Holy Spirit working on our life wants to bring us somewhere where we're not sure. And it says, quench not the Holy Spirit. Paul in another place says, I have worked hard not to frustrate the Holy Spirit, not to grieve the Holy Spirit in my life. And that's why at the end he could say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And I have this thorn in the flesh. And God said, my grace is sufficient. And he said, my grace is sufficient. So his grace is sufficient for me. It's like, wow. He really didn't quench the Spirit. So quench not the Spirit when he starts working. And say, ah, another time, another time. Despise not prophesyings. Don't put down the preaching of the Word of God. Oh, I can miss it this Sunday because I can do something else. Oh, I can. It's just brother so-and-so coming back in. Oh, man. We used to have a guy preach here years ago. And I kind of, I had to get by this because to me, the guy looked and sounded like one of the guys from Laugh-In. He looked comedic to me, and he preached kind of comedic. And he had a little whiny type voice, and it was like, man, Henry Gibson is the guy's name from Laugh-In. That's Henry Gibson. Anyway, the preacher was like that. And so every time it says, oh, you didn't really, Pastor Anchor would say, oh, we're good for another year with him. Oh, really? Oh, really? We're going to have to put up with another year? Yeah. Why? God wanted me to teach them things. I'm not here to listen to him. Okay? Whoever's up here preaching, you're not here to listen to me. You're here to listen to what God is saying. And it's interesting, he says, despise not prophesying, because when you despise the prophesying, the preaching of the Word of God, you are quenching the Spirit. You're not letting the Spirit touch you through the words, touch you through the Scriptures. Okay? All this thing has, you see how it's interconnected there? Okay. Don't quench the Spirit, because when you do, you're going to despise the prophesying. You're going to put it down. You're going to belittle it. You're going to make it of no effect in your life. Don't do it. And we're going to go ahead and end there. We're going to end with the same ending. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Read it. Read it aloud if you have to. I know that people say, oh, read the Bible through a year, you know, and they get you this chart here. Here's this chart. You do what it says. Well, now you're just reading a book. Yes, it is a holy book. Yes, it's good for you. But now you're reading a book without the idea of trying to absorb what God is saying to you. Okay? You're just looking at the things. When we read the Scriptures, you know, in the Old Testament, when they read the Scriptures, they actually prepared themselves. I mean, they actually put a price on it. They actually valued this thing, esteemed the Word of God, where they would prepare themselves. If they had a copy, they would put up big dollars for that parchment, for that vellum that it was written on. They would prepare themselves in a dress, be on their knees. And there are times that we do not put that much effort in the reading of the Word of God. Okay? You ever hear this? I couldn't find my Bible Sunday. So I brought another one. I'm using the church Bible. I've done that, and it's like, well, where is your Bible? And it's like, well, I know where it's at. I just forgot it today. Some people you ask, well, do you know where your Bible is? I have not a clue. I got home and I put it aside. That the epistle be read to all the holy brethren. So when you read the Bible, try this. Pastor Anker had a thing of that you pray through the scriptures, and he started us in Psalms. He says, when you read through the Psalms, pray through a psalm. Blessed is the man, Psalm 1. Pray, God, God, help me to be blessed. Help me to find that happiness in you. Help me, Father, to be like these guys and not like the guys that are further down. Why did the heathen rage? Help me, Father, not to be like that against you. But also, try reading the Word of God out loud. Yeah, in your own prayer closet, because sometimes, you know, people don't like to hear your voice. But how about praying it out loud to yourself? These little call to worship, call to glories that we got. Read those out loud. Okay? Some of the little self-help books that you get, try reading those out loud. I did that a couple of times, and some of these self-help books are just said, they're just a self-help book. They can put Jesus and Christ and everything in the Spirit all, you know, all they want to, but some of them are just, they fall flat. But when you read the Word of God out loud, it should make a difference. Holy Spirit testifying also with you of those things that are being said. Okay. Of those things being said. And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. We're going to have a little time of invitation before going down and having a snack and fellowship. I think I preached a little long, but if anything that's been said or done spiked something in you that you need to repent of, now's the time. Spike something that you need to go to God about, now's the time. You know, it's interesting. God's pulpit's, his pulpit, his altar is always open. You can also do that where you're sit. But seriously, if there's something that God's pointed out in your mind, man, I need to change this portion or I need to change that portion, now's the time to take care of it. Pianist is going to play for a minute or so. And with our head bowed and our eyes closed, let's go ahead and, like I said, think on these things. Meditate. Is there something that I need to walk away with today?